Oliver Callan on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by It's for Women. Discover female health insurance through It's for Women.
We're having this woman, Aine Ní Laoghna. Welcome to studio, this week's visiting critic.
Hello, Oliver.
Are you in good form?
I'm always in good form.
For some reason, I kind of think you travel here on the wings of some giant beast that you've discovered and kept for yourself somewhere around County Louth.
There was never anything wrong with your imagination anyway.
Do you travel in transport? Do you drive yourself?
Well, of course I drive myself or I'd go no place.
I'm really nervous.
Do you drive yourself? Well, I interview you, will I?
Yeah, why not? No, I'm really scared. For a visiting critic, obviously we get people out of their comfort zone and we wanted to get you to do something that we didn't think you'd really enjoy or like.
Yes.
Not enjoy, but something that you never thought of doing, I suppose. And this was a meditation class.
Yes.
So all the Eastern spirituality, because you're a woman of science. I thought that those worlds would collide here. Is that a discomfort zone for you?
Well, that's an hour of my life that I'll never get back.
Oh, my God. Everybody we send usually enjoys the thing
that you're sent to.
I
was sent to a lovely Buddhist centre. It was a really nice place.
Yeah.
And I arrived in the evening time for a class from 7 until 8:15.
Okay.
And 24 people arrived, 8 men and 16 women. And nobody would see 40 again except on the bus. So that was the kind of the age group of them. And we were brought into this lovely room with lovely soft chairs and white walls. And up at the front where you might have an altar or something, there was a large glass case, the full width of the room. And inside the glass case, there were about 10 statues of Buddhas.
Oh, yeah.
And the
lovely.
Buddhas were all sitting up with their legs crossed in. I don't know how they got their legs in that way or how they'd ever get them out again.
He's a happy looking fella as well.
Well, he was sitting with his legs crossed. I mean, God knows, there was big ones and little ones. And then there was one of these gods that has four arms, two this way and two that way. So I had a great time gawking at all this. And then there was a dais and a man came in all dressed in black and he was to conduct operations. And there was a lovely window all along the side.
Sounds like a lovely relaxing room.
Yes.
And
then he sits up there and he says what he's introducing, and the introduction is that we want to wake up every morning feeling the day, approaching the day. We want to wake up facing every day with confidence. We want to be living our best
lives. Lovely sentiment.
And we need to make changes to be able to do this. So the inference was that we were all banjaks to begin with, that we were there, that we weren't full of confidence, we weren't living our best lives, and that we wanted to change. And we have to do this. This change, you'd be glad to know, you have to do it by looking into your minds during meditation. So you sit there during meditation, looking into your mind so that you can wake up in the morning full of confidence and be able to live your best life.
Works for millions of people across the
planet.
Indeed.
And so everybody was told to close their eyes. It took him about 20 minutes to say all that, because you know the way you read the American stuff and they tell you the thing and then they tell it to you again.
They speak slowly in a meditation.
Well, I mean, everybody speaks slowly except me. But anyway, there you go. So I was, I was sitting there in the back with my gob shut for once. Can you imagine such a thing? And eventually we were all to close our eyes and we were to breathe in through our noses. So I was going to ask only, it was being good. I didn't say, if you have a cold and you can't breathe through your nose, you banja, can you do this?
Yeah,
but
yeah.
No, nobody mentioned anything important like that. So they all sat there with their hands on their laps, all breathing through their noses with their eyes shut. Because I kept my eyes open to see what was happening. You see?
Yes.
And your man was there with his eyes shut. And he was busy walking us through this. We were to focus on the breath going through our nose. And I was there thinking, what'll I cook for the dinner? I have chicken at home in the fridge now. Well, I do it in a white sauce or whatever. Then I have to breathe through my nose.
Yeah, you're
again.
Doing it wrong, you see. You're supposed to.
I looked out and there was a gorgeous robin that came down and was walking around pecking. I was looking at the robin breathing through my nose. And I thought, Mother of God, will this ever be over? And after about, I suppose, 20 minutes, we opened our eyes and then we were to come back. And we were, by breathing, by looking into our mind, somehow we were meant to be able to. And it was nice and calm when we all sat down and you had
Did
a
Did you get to look into your mind at any
and
point?
For God's sake, my mind is grand. The way it is. I mean, I get up in the morning and I do what I want to do. And I mean, you only can live in the day you're in. You can only do what you're doing now. I'm in here talking to you, so there's no point in thinking what I did this morning. That's over. I got here in time. And I've no point in thinking what I'll do when I leave, because I haven't left
yet.
You've mastered
your mind already.
Yeah, but doesn't everybody behave like that? You can only live in the minute.
I have to do sketches for Callan's Kicks after this. I'm half writing them in my head here. And was that thing I did earlier on okay?
But if you went to meditation now, Jordan probably has their eyes shut. You could be writing the script in your head. Because I was sitting there. Now, what will I say to Oliver when I go in now? So I was busy writing out the script in my head. So I would recommend it. So if you want half an hour's peace to not have people ringing you up and stuff, you would.
What was your attitude towards the whole wellness and meditation world before you went in?
Well, I told you. I said an hour I won't get back. Sitting there thinking, giving yourself far too much notice.
So you preloaded yourself before going in I'm not going to like this.
No, well, I think it's a waste of time to be sitting down thinking about yourself. If people stop thinking about themselves and go out and did something, they'd be better off. If I feel I need to get a bit of peace and quiet, go out for a walk, listen to the birds, go out to the woods, do that sort of thing. Not be sitting in the room thinking I'm breathing through my nose, out through my mouth. Oliver, I mean, there's only so many hours left in my life.
Never met such a cynical visiting critic.
It was a lovely experience. The people there were all saying how wonderful it was afterwards, and I was supposed to be doing a vox pop and finding out how they all did. But the second person I went to said, I wanted to ask you about trees. And then the time she'd finished asking me about the trees, everybody had gone home. But anyway,
do you like that when people ask you random wildlife things?
Oh yeah, they're all usually they're civil and they say, you know, things like, I saw a spider the other day and I thought of you. And I think, oh, how interesting. Why, what did you think? Because I had said in one of my books, you see, that spiders have all their legs on their heads. And people don't know that. I don't know where people think they have their legs, but they've all their legs on their heads. So the next time someone saw a spider, instead of leaping up in a chair and screaming, they actually looked at the spider.
You would
and
too.
Lo and behold, it had all its legs on its head. And now they're thinking, oh yeah, Ennis said that. And so like, you know, this
Do
is
you know, if
thing.
Your man had come in and started a session and said, I want everyone to breathe in and out and consider this fact, spiders have legs
all their legs
on their
heads. All their legs.
That would clear all
legs.
Of the thoughts you had, wouldn't it?
Well, absolutely, indeed. And spiders or things like squirrels don't hibernate. In fact, I wrote a book about this called Wonders of the Wild.
Plug in your book already.
Yeah, well, of course I am. I brought it in because she didn't know spiders had legs on their head. I'm just actually looking for the page. Here they are. Look, there's the spider and there's its bottom and there's its top and there's all the legs coming out of its head.
Someone's already asking, can you get an A in a potion? Can we buy this? Because they want your energy.
Yeah, well, you know, I'm lucky to be healthy, I suppose, and I should say that, you know, and it's not given to everybody to be full of beans, but I'm full of beans.
Has Aina ever done a show with Frances Brennan? That would be awesome, says Susan. That would be quite a competition, wouldn't it?
Poor Francis would have
Francis
to get his.
You now.
He'd have to get his smelling salts after he was finished listening to me.
I'm the same as you. Couldn't be standing that meditation nonsense at all. Yeah, breathe in, breathe out. Get some Pledge. Breathe that in and Winderlean as well. Go on.
But anyway, you have done your time taking me off on things like skim.
Oh yeah, has that affected you, or how do you feel like being made fun of? Not made fun of. I
oh,
mean,
you're only up now.
Sorry,
you're only up to making fun of people.
No,
this is
never,
very interesting.
No.
Go now.
My God, what does she do? She's hypnotised me.
And another thing you did, you came on after one of the Mooney Goes Wild shows, pretending to be Joe Duffy.
Going on
about flying bats and rats. And we all thought you were Joe Duffy because, you know, we weren't expecting our producers to do the dirt on us like this.
Yeah.
We got very cross. So
you just have a brilliant flow that lends itself to people, those of us who do the funny
voices.
Well,
I'm very flattered. I mean, it's not everybody you take off. And the people you take off are obviously so well known that you don't have to explain who this person is. And usually you have me in the pole position taking the piss on Derek or something, which is all nice, you know. So you haven't done it in ages now. Come on. If you want something
We can solve that for sure. So taking off, I'm just thinking of you get going, you just take off all on your own. And it's everything that you need. I can't even write a script for half the things you're going to do. Do you know, I'm even thinking about people coming up to you asking random wildlife questions. I was getting rid of ivy the other day off a tree. The ivy has destroyed all the trees in Ireland, but you're probably telling me, no, let the ivy alone. It's doing a lovely thing there now. It's looking after the birds and the bees and everything inside it.
Well, you don't need me here at all. Interview yourself. You ask the questions and then answer in my voice.
Is ivy killing trees?
No, of course it isn't killing trees.
It kind of looks like it is.
No, it isn't. They grow on dead trees and the trees are dead and are covered in ivy and people think the tree killed them, but it actually...
There was lovely hawthorn trees and the leaves are all choked with the ivy because it seems to grow all year round.
Well, ivy does grow all the year round. It's evergreen, in case you didn't notice. And in the winter time, when there's no leaves on the trees, if it's growing on things like ash and things like trees like hawthorn, the native ones we have, and then when there's no leaves there, it'll grow. But then the leaves come back and keep manners on it. But as trees get old, like you and me and everybody else, they get a bit thin on top.
So you're all for the ivy.
You have to explain it to me. Stop interrupting until I explain how it finishes. So the trees are getting older. There's more light coming through. The ivy's getting bigger. And then big wind comes, the old tree falls down and everyone says the ivy killed it. But in fact, it was overweight and things that are overweight die quicker than things that aren't. But look at all the birds, all the bees, look at all the insects that were in that ivy on that tree. Whereas the bare and baldy tree with no ivy on it just sat there being a tree and wasn't a good environmental...
Wasn't a habitat.
No, it wasn't a habitat at all. So there.
Do you gardening? Are you a gardener?
Why would I be a gardener?
Because you're outside.
Gardening is an unnatural practice.
Is it?
Yeah.
Growing all these nice garden.
You actually go to the garden, you go to the place, you take up all the wildflowers, call them names like weeds, you take out the wild creatures, you call them pests and spray them, and then you dig up all the soil and you plant stuff that comes from China, New Zealand, things like this. You put in tulips and daffodils that have no pollen, no nectar in them.
They look so nice though, don't they?
Yeah, but there's other flowers that look nice and they do really well. I mean, people say dandelions are weeds. They're full of nectar, full of pollen. We like to have the bees. So what are the bees supposed to eat? Rashers and eggs. Because they're certainly not going to get much out of your daffodils or your tulips. They can't even see red, for God's sake. So red flowers in the garden are only in the garden. There's no
useless
wild red flowers.
The red flowers are no use at all to the bees. But there's loads.
You can't
of,
see them.
There's loads of flowers, though, isn't there? That are good for bees, no?
Yeah, there's lots of flowers that
the
are good.
The garden centres tell me they are.
Oh, yeah, well, of course. I mean, the fool and his money are soon parted.
You love it outside, though, so it's the wilderness you're looking for.
Well, that's a way. Yeah, well, I wouldn't call it a wilderness because I can understand. I mean, my husband comes from Tipperary, and when somebody doesn't understand something, he says, you might as well be looking into a hedge. Yeah. Well, when I'm looking into a hedge, I think it's wonderful. I don't think it's a heap of confusion and stuff. But as far as he's concerned, when he's trying to like work out how the dishwasher might work or how the washing machine work, you might as well be looking into a hedge.
Two alternative minds in the house.
Oh, well, no, he's grand. He's a scientist too. He's a physicist.
You met, did you,
in college? We met on the bus, actually.
What did you?
We met on the 44A going out to Enniskerry in first year. On my 18th birthday, we were all going out to college, out for a walk up the Sugarloaf. And whom should I meet on the bus but loads of other people from science as well. And then he was one of them. And then when I went back the following day or the next day to school or to college, there he was. I thought, oh, he's a nice fella. So there you go.
That's Johnny.
That's Johnny, indeed, yeah.
And how many years later?
Many years later. Well, you're still here now. And I mean, that's ever since I was in college at 18. It's not today or yesterday.
You're married, I think, 47.
You have your notes there. Go on, tell the whole world. 47. Yes, 47 years.
For 17 years. But you met before that. So you see, we haven't given away the figure.
I don't care. I mean, what age do people think I am? 25, for God's sake. I mean, when they consider the alternative, getting old isn't bad.
You're dead right.
Of course I'm right.
Is that the attitude you wake up with every day?
Well, of course I do. I mean, here I am. I woke up. I'm still alive. Yes, you know.
I need to remember to do that every morning.
Every day God sends is a good day. I mean, if you wake up one day and you wake up dead, that's the end of it.
Thank God we made it through the night.
Yes, you make it through the night.
That's why meditation was lost on you then, sure. You're centred and happy out.
Well, anyway, I did what I was told. I went to the thing, I've done that, ticked it off, and that's that done. Well, gave me a chance to talk to you, Oliver.
Oh, it's an absolute pleasure. What would get you down?
People being mean to other people. What really annoys me about Irish people is that they love to get a rise out of somebody else. Mm. Like you pretending to be Joe Duffy. And well, you did this because you were asked to do it.
I only slagged the powerful.
Yes, well, this is it. But but it wasn't so much you. You did it, and we thought you were Joe Duffy.
You were tricked into thinking
it
was
real. But it was the other people having the laugh at our expense, that our producers, whatever the people in here who had agreed to all of this, sitting back being delighted to get a rise out of myself and Richard Collins, who absolutely thought it was Joe Duffy, thinking bats were flying rats or whatever.
I don't even remember
you
this.
Were doing. Not you do it all the time, how would you know? But that's your job. So I'm not getting at you particularly. But people do this all the time. They actually say something horrible and nasty and they enjoy getting a rise out of
somebody. I see what you mean. The meanness that's out there.
The meanness that's out there.
It's
amplified a lot. On social media and stuff, but it's the same thing, to get a rise, to get somebody to react to something.
Okay.
And they do it on purpose and then they enjoy the pleasure of the other person being annoyed. That makes me very cross.
That makes you very cross?
Yeah, it does make me very cross. Give them a thump if I could get a chance at it. I hate people doing that.
I wouldn't like to get a thump off you because you're fit.
You're not allowed to thump people anymore.
What a shame.
When you said that.
What have you done to my moral compass? So you're a happy out person. That's why the meditation, the mindfulness, to get back to the visiting critic bit, didn't really work. It works for a lot of people who need to calm their busy mind.
I wouldn't say don't do it. But
yeah,
I mean,
you're fair, yeah.
You know, I mean, and it was a lovely place and they were really nice and we got lovely lemonade-y stuff afterwards and water and lots of people to talk nicely to and the chairs were comfortable and the robin was very nice outside.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and we had two goes at the meditation.
The robin is a nice way to bounces up towards us. That's why we always think of that it's someone visiting.
Irish robins are different to the robins you get abroad.
Really?
Because our Irish robins are quite tame. And we went to Poland once and we went to the Bielowitzka Forest, which is the last remaining place in Europe of native woodlands. And we saw 100 different species of birds, but we didn't see a robin, even though they were there, because they're all calm and quiet. They're all afraid. But in Ireland, once you dig a lump in the garden at all, the robin is there waiting for a go at it. But of course, robins you know, people think when they see them so often that they're actually somebody that is dead is returning to visit them. Yeah. And it gives them great comfort and consolation. But the robins are all the same. Male robins look the same as female robins.
Oh, yeah.
And one can't tell the difference with the other. And robins hate other robins.
Really?
Yeah, what they're doing on Christmas cards, I do not know. Seasons of peace and happiness.
They're robins on their own,
and
aren't
they? And if another robin comes in, the first robin will bait it off. And they'll kill each other. You see robins in cars beating each other up, beating themselves up in the mirror. Look at the mirror of the car, and there they are having to fight
themselves.
Oh, yeah, because
they think it's another robin.
Yeah, yeah, the males are fierce aggressive. They're in there singing, saying, hump off, this is my garden.
Isn't that the beautiful song of the blackbird as well? It's like, get the hell out of this garden.
Yeah, yeah, well, it's men for you, you know. That's what they're doing. They're actually holding territory. And then, well, the female blackbird looks different, so the blackbird isn't so bad. But when a female robin comes in and your man needs a mate, he doesn't recognise it's a woman and he goes and attacks her. I mean, the story could have a terrible ending. Only females, of course, women have more sense and she doesn't fight back and your man is all confused. Why won't this robin fight?
But aside from all the murder and violence, looking at birds is very nice for your head.
Well, listen to their song is lovely. And it is indeed. And so we're only putting our interpretation on things. This is.
Do you have other hobbies? Because I know when you did all your...
What do you mean other hobbies? Well, are you referring that my wildlife thing is a hobby?
No, I mean hobbies as in do you have hobbies in general? Because
why would you have a hobby?
I suppose it's to calm you down from the busy, because you're busy in your job, aren't you?
Yeah, but you have hobbies.
You were a teacher for years.
It's a pastime. I mean, I don't have time to have a hobby, for goodness sake. I have things to be doing.
Because you love your job, so it doesn't...
Well, if you love your job, it's not a job, is it? I mean, what do I do?
Were you busy this week?
I write for the newspaper, yeah. I write books, I'm trying to get my new... I'm putting Wild Dublin back again. I produced a book called Wild Dublin way back in 2008, and it's coming out again. And the deadline was yesterday and the day before, and I'm like a blue ass fly trying to get it all finished to get it over the line. Then you have your deadline for the Irish Times thing, and then you have to come in and come to things like this, and we still have our Mooney Goes Wild every single Monday.
Do you love being busy? Yeah, you do, every Monday night.
Yeah, it is, yeah. And then for a rest and a relaxation, I read cookery books.
You read cookery books?
I love cookery books. I nearly have as many cookery books as I have wildlife books.
And what were you reading recently? Do you sit down and read them or do you...
Yeah, I sit down and I hate them all once the pictures in them. I love ones like Elizabeth David or Jane Grigson where there's loads of text and you read all about what they did and they inspired you to do this. You know, I mean, nowadays they're all terrible. You have a picture on one side and you have a menu recipe on the other, and I'm quite often on TV3 and there's always a chef on that, and every single day the chef is doing something, and then we get to eat it afterwards until the ads are over, and then we put it out.
What would you be cooking?
But I cook whatever I cook. I mean, if it's, you know, you could have meat, you could have fish, you could have vegetables. I mean, I'll think what you have yesterday.
What meal did you plan when you were in the meditation?
I had a chicken. I had two chicken thighs in the two chicken thighs in the fridge. And I said, what else have I got now? Have I a bit of cream? I had a bit of cream. I had a few shallots so I could fry up the shallots and add the bit of cream to it and reduce it down.
A little dash of white wine for the flavour.
Well,
the
drop into me. And then I have this new air fryer thing. So I put the two yolks
you're
in. I got it a little for hardly anything. It's only a little tiny oven, only air fryer me granny. I put the two chicken breasts and things in there, shut the door, and they were cooked while I had my sauce whipped up, and then it was all beautiful.
So you love being busy?
Well, of course I do, yeah. So why would you be wasting time sitting around doing nothing, moaning and saying, oh, I'm bored, I'm fed up. Only stupid people are bored.
Your media career began with a book as well, didn't it?
Yes, indeed. My media career began because I was working in Forrest Forbaha, which was the forerunner of the EPA. And then I used to... People
it was about women who do things.
Yeah, but I mean, the thing was people had to send in records. And then there was no internet or anything, so I had to go on the radio and talk about why I wanted them to send in records. And then they thought I was great in the radio. And they put me into this book. This book is called The Directory of Women Contributors to Radio and Television. In other words, the book of women who can do things.
Ah.
And here I am in the book of women.
Was there a book for women? Or was there a book for men who could do things?
Not at all. Men can do everything. Yeah, but the women had to be in a book. So when Derek Dem was setting out for his programme way back in 1991 or two, we was doing other things before Moody Goes Wild, he looked in the book of women who could do things, and lo and behold, there I was, Neil Owen, in a consultant ecologist, and my environmental issues were my interest, conservation of air in Dublin, wildlife biology. But I'd been on with...
You can do everything, basically.
With John Skehan talking about dragonflies and the sex life of them, and that is really what swung it, and I had a voice, and I went,
and
you know,
between all,
no dry hair.
In between all of this, you've been a mammy and...
I have three kids.
And you're a granny as
and
well.
And I have seven grandchildren.
Seven grandchildren,
indeed. Oh, my genes will go on, all right.
Do you do party pieces? Because that's our competition today.
Party pieces, I brought out a record. Look at it. There it is. There was an old lady who swallowed a fly. My party piece was so wonderful, they made a record of it.
So you can sing.
At 60,000 people, euros I got for this. Another 60 was given by the government of Ireland, and that put water into Rwanda with
clip,
the tales
I have
of that.
A clip of
it. Of course, I can't sing.
Inini Lana swallowed a fly.
I know an old lady who swallowed a dog. Oh, what the hell? To swallow a dog.
What year was this, Inini?
A dog
Oh, this was, I suppose, it was when Mooney Goes Wild, when I was about, I suppose, the late 1990s.
Late 90s.
Yeah, no, I suppose it was 2009, sorry, 2008. Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah, wasn't that great? What they can do, it's like when you take your picture and they can Photoshop it. Well, they can take your voice and do that to it. If you had
Did
me
you talk it. Through the whole recording as well?
Every time it was a different thing, I changed key. The poor man was demented trying to record.
The questions that we have to ask people like yourself, Aina, are you going to run for president?
No, I'm not going to run for president. What would I be doing above in the park for 7 years? And I couldn't go to Chipper, or I couldn't go to the pictures, or I couldn't do anything else. I'm not. I hereby category state on the Oliver Callan Show, I am not running for the President of Ireland. Thank you very much.
This message says, as someone who's been teaching meditation and Tai Chi for over 20 years, Aina doesn't need it. She's aware of her surroundings and living in the moment. Job done. They love listening to you.
Oh, I was afraid to hear what you were going to say in case they get out about me. Say that one knows nothing. Great. Oh,
I'm sitting in the sunshine
much.
In stitches here. Aina is a national treasure. By the way, I'm exactly the same when I try to meditate. That's from Alma in Cork.
She's cooking the chicken dinner as well.
Aina Ní Lana, thank you so much.
A pleasure, Oliver.
Gura Míle Maigid. Will you hang out for a minute, actually, because we're going to do the party piece and you might hang around as a judge?
I will, of course.